February the 5th. We are less than 24 hours from the trade deadline. We had a couple of moves overnight. Nothing too significant, but still a lot of chatter. We also have 11 games on today, so there is a lot to cover in a short amount of time. This is the Wednesday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Come on, brothers with me. Come on, brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. What are we going to start with? Let's start with trades. So we had some moves. The biggest move, not huge, but the biggest that we had overnight was the Chris Middleton, Kyle Kuzma trade, which we had heard rumors about. So this was not out of the blue. What does this do for fantasy value? Well, for Kuzma, it's both, I think, because obviously in terms of per game upside, what he can do on the court, it is a hit, a bump down, because he is now playing with Giannis and Dame. So he just won't get as many shots. But he will probably play more. He will probably, in terms of games played, purely because we don't know what Washington were doing. I know he's had injuries, but rest, management, whatever you want to call it. He hasn't been healthy this season. He hasn't been good. He hasn't been happy. I would assume going to Milwaukee is a positive in terms of his mindset and his passion and whatever, playing on a team that actually wants to win. So I do think he takes a hit in terms of how good can Kyle Kuzma be. But in terms of rest of season, let's lock him in fantasy value kind of thing, I think it's a good thing because I think he plays a bit more. As for Middleton, look, if he plays, it's a bump up because he's, much like Kuzma was, he's playing on a team that doesn't have a lot of talent. So I do think that, I do think it's a good thing if he plays. I'm not convinced he plays. Where does it put him per game if he does play? I mean, how much are they going to push him anyway? He's had these ankle injuries. What is the incentive to run him out there other than, I guess, trade value? So, I mean, top 80, I suppose. He's not getting back to top 50, top 40, Chris Middleton. He won't play enough for starters. So, in saying all of this, both players are probably rostered, so you just don't do anything. You hold both of them. There are no pickups. There are no ads here, I don't think. The other trades were fairly modest. Let me just bring them up here in front of me, and then we'll do the Kevin Durant thing. So Jaden Springer traded to Houston, which doesn't mean anything other than Houston get another interesting young piece who I think can be a pretty good player. I don't know what they plan to do with him. He's probably not going to play, so he's not someone we're chasing. We're not adding him, anything like that. But I do like it from a reality standpoint for them. Daniel Tice also traded from the Pelicans to the Thunder. He really won't play. His role doesn't change. He gives them another solid backup. But he'll compete with Jalen Williams for those backup minutes. Chet has to come back in as well. So I don't really see much of a change here for Tice. What I do see, though, or what I do like about this trade is the fact that the Pelicans are getting off him means that they are going to presumably play Carlo Matkovic as their backup centre. And we've seen in the last couple of games, he's intriguing. It's good for Misi. It doesn't change his value right now or what he's doing, because he's been starting and playing good minutes anyway. But it means he is the starter now. There's no one coming for his playing time unless they do shut it down. To me, this move sort of says they are probably heading down that path by running out two rookie or two very young centres in Misi and Matkovic. So, yeah, I like it for Matkovic. Deeper leagues, I think you could look at him, and we might reach a point in the season where he actually does start. They might just want to get a look at him and see what they've got. So that's all the moves. That's all the trades so far. Obviously, we are 23 hours from the trade deadline, so we will get more and more. Now, on rumours, probably the strongest rumour going around at the moment is the Kevin Durant trade to the Warriors. He doesn't want to go, but it's not up to him. It is up to the Warriors. The Warriors are doing what I thought they would do, and that's try to look for pieces to put around Steph to win now, and by now I mean the next 1 to 2 years. Durant is out tonight with an ankle injury. Coincidence? Who knows? But, yeah, certainly a situation to monitor there with the Warriors, to see who they go after here. And obviously, I talked about this, the fact Durant is basically on the same timeline as Steph in terms of career trajectory, which fits the Warriors because that is their window. The come down from whenever Steph ends his career and they just tank is going to be pretty hard, pretty quick. But for now, they're obviously looking to compete. So we will see what that looks like. All right, let's get into the games, because I do... school is back, so I've got to get kids to school and things like that today. How rude. Cleveland at Detroit. Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell is questionable with a shoulder concern. Back-to-back, maybe factoring in here, I'm not sure. Other than that, they're relatively healthy. 11 games tonight, 24 hours out from the trade deadline. I would not consider streaming tonight, really, unless you've got unlimited moves. That would be the only choice. And with 11 games, you probably don't have much space on your roster anyway. So no one on Cleveland, I don't think. Unless Donovan Mitchell is ruled out. If he's ruled out, you could take a flyer on Ty Jerome. He tends to step up and play well when they have one of Mitchell and or Garland out. For the Pistons, again, probably not. I don't think there's anyone to consider here. If you're very desperate for threes, maybe Tim Hardaway. But the rest are probably rostered everywhere. So not much to talk about there. KJ Martin, he's got him here as traded. Was he traded? I know that they're looking to trade him. I didn't read that he had been moved yet. Yeah, nothing there. Not that it matters, but anyway, interesting. All right, let's get on to the next game. Milwaukee at Charlotte. So no Chris Middleton, obviously, and Kuzma can't be cleared to play that quickly. So for the Bucks, Dame, Giannis, Bobby Portis, all probable. Portis has been out with a personal injury. There is a interesting article or sort of statement from him around. So his grandmother passed away. And hit him pretty hard, unsurprisingly. So he has been out for personal reasons, probable to come back. Rumours have swirled around him being traded as well, but nothing concrete. Lopez also questionable here. So, look, if Lopez is out and Portis is out, oh, man, they probably just run small, I would assume. AJ Green, Gary Trent would just come in and play. They'd slot them in there somewhere. So I don't really think there's anyone, unless you need threes and you look at Trenton Green. For the Hornets, still no LaMelo. He's getting closer, but won't be playing tonight. Vasily Micic, also questionable. So if he's out, he was also questionable in the last game but played through it. So I would probably assume he plays through this. If he is out, though, I would give KJ Simpson a look if moves are viable in your format. Diabate, again, he's more of a handcuff at the moment for Mark Williams. He's playing just enough to have some deeper league value, but that's about it. Spurs at Atlanta. De'Aaron Fox will make his debut for the Spurs. We don't have word on their starting lineup yet, but Chris Paul is questionable tonight, so it may not matter. Fox will start, we know that. Wemby will start, we know that. Vassell, I assume, will start. They're probably the three that are locked in here. And then it's going to be like two of Steph Castle, Harrison Barnes, Chris Paul, Jeremy Sochan. So two of those guys will be the other starters. Not adding, not dropping at this point. Sochan, we've been asked about him. I would be holding him for now. We will see what his role looks like once they're all healthy. For the Hawks, Trae Young probable, Achilles ongoing. Assume he plays. Reece Oshae has been scoring the ball well. Probably rostered in most leagues, I think. His upside's pretty limited because of the fact that he doesn't really do much outside of scoring, but he is fine to roster, much like DeAndre Hunter. And Vic Krejci, who had been down, he was a little bit better in the last game. They've thrown out anyone really into that starting lineup. Let's see if Krejci can play 26, 28 minutes again. If he can, I think he's a hold or an add. If he's back down to 22, probably not. And Larry Nance, 18 minutes is not really enough. He needs 22, 24, I think, to be considerable. Okay, Alex has just put KJ Martin was traded to Detroit for 2 seconds. So there you go. Doesn't really matter. All right, next game. Miami at Philadelphia for the Heat. No Jimmy Butler, of course. And not much in the way of trade rumors for old Jimmy. So we don't know what's happening with him. It doesn't matter tonight. Highsmith will start. We don't care. Duncan Smith? Why did I say that? I don't know. Duncan Robinson is probable. Jovic is our stream slash ad. Rozier is next on that list, although he was pretty bad. Hakez, yeah. I mean, he's fine, I think. 14 team leagues, 16 team leagues, but in 12s, I don't think so. For the Sixers, Embiid is out, second night of a back-to-back. Paul George is doubtful. Drummond is doubtful, but we could get Gordon, we could get Lowry. We could get Grimes making his debut as well. Justin Edwards has been playing really well. I think he's probably, somehow he's a must-roster player, at least for now. Once Paul George is back, once Embiid is back again, he probably falls out of that discussion, but for now, he's okay. Ricky Council tonight will play a bit more, but he's very up and down. I'd much rather Edwards. Yabusele will slide back up to the starting center spot with Embiid out. He was good last night. And, should be rostered at the moment. Grimes, if you were holding him from when he was playing sort of meaningful minutes in Dallas there, I'd probably just hold him. Let's see what his role looks like. If you look down this roster here, he should probably play the most minutes off the bench here. He should play more than Gordon, more than Lowry, more than Bona, more than Doughton, more than Reggie Jackson. So, I mean, it's his first game. We don't know what the Sixers' mindset is here around Grimes, but he could theoretically play 30 minutes tonight. So we'll see. Interesting. Washington at Brooklyn for the Wizards. No Kyle Kuzma. No, Alex Sarr is out as well. But no Chris Middleton. He won't debut. We don't know if he will ever debut for this team. We'll see. With no Kuzma, though, for tonight, with that sort of spot vacant, I guess, Bub Carrington, who's been doing absolutely nothing and I would not be adding him tonight. He is a beneficiary if Middleton is moved or bought out or whatever they end up doing. But he's been doing so little, it's hard to roster him. Same goes for Keyshawn George. Koulibaly, Jordan Poole, Jonas Valanciunas are our must roster players at the moment. Remember, Valanciunas has been, all his name has been floated around in trade talks as well, so keep an eye on things there. Corey Kispert coming off a nice game can be streamed in if you need points, threes. Brogdon really not playing enough to be rostered. For the Nets, I talked about them yesterday. I'm just not touching them anymore. They're too frustrating. Cam Johnson is playing, so there you go. I didn't think we'd see that, but he is off the injury report. I guess, look, if you have a move available to you and he was dropped, sure, go and pick him up tonight. It's probably worth it for a one-gamer. I mean, I know he's certainly still near the top of that list for trade, as a trade candidate, but he's playing tonight. The Nets are not good. I mean, I know they won last night, but yeah, let's see what he does tonight. Keon Johnson, Jalen Wilson, Ben Simmons, D'Angelo Russell, Zaire Williams, Tyrese Martin, Tosin Ibakwe, Reese Beekman. Who knows? Who knows? Two of them could get 35 minutes. Three of them could get 8 minutes. They could all get 20 minutes. You just don't know. Dayron Sharpe is questionable with a hamstring injury, which is a bit of a bummer. I still think he is a really good stash, though. Memphis at Toronto, the Grizzlies, Brandon Clark, Vince Williams, John Conchar, Marcus Smart, all questionable. Look, they're starting to get healthy, which is good. Desmond Bain is probably out here for a couple of weeks. So it's good in terms of their depth and winning and all of that. But from a fantasy perspective, it's not good because the minutes are just spread out too thinly across this roster. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, you could probably make a case that they're the only two players we have to be rostering. Zach Edey is close. His minutes are really dependent on matchup against a Toronto lineup with no sizable center. Zach Edey's minutes could be down here, but that also depends on whether Brandon Clark plays, I think. If Clark plays, he could play a little bit more tonight. He could play 20-plus. Edey might play under 20, but we will see. As for the rest of these guys, Aldama, Smart, Vince Williams, Brandon Clark, G.G. Jackson, Scottie Pippen, Jalen Wells, Luke Kennard, John Conchar, Jake Baravia. I mean, they are just so deep that it makes it really hard to stream. And on a night like tonight, I just wouldn't bother. For Toronto, as I said, no Jakob Poeltl, no Emmanuel Quickley. So Davion Mitchell will start. We're not interested in him. Kelly Olynyk, do we risk it? The best player of all time could play a meaningful role tonight. I'm going to go and check my leagues and just see. I have a couple of leagues where I have unlimited moves. I'm going to see if he's available. I would love to see a vintage Kelly game here. I don't know whether we will. That's probably me just wishful thinking, but look, worth a look maybe. If Poeltl is going to miss time here, it's a hip injury. We don't know. There's no indication this is a multi-game absence at this point. If he does, and if Olynyk isn't traded, maybe we do get like a week's worth of top 50 Kelly Olynyk. Wouldn't that be, what a time to be alive if we could get that. Grady Dick, if you're probably just holding him, continue holding with these players out. RJ Barrett, of course, is in the concussion protocol. So Jacoby Walter, who started last night, would in theory start again, or they may go with Ochai Agbaji, who started earlier in the season. But again, 11 games, trade deadline. Probably not worth it. All right, Chicago at Minnesota. The Bulls, all of their trade guys are unavailable. Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins. Lonzo Ball is out on the second night of a back-to-back. So the question is, do they start Mattis Buzelis or do they start Patrick Williams? I hope it's Buzelis. he's been playing really well, should be rostered everywhere. The whole starting five here should be started, should be rostered, and I'm not looking. I mean, if Patrick Williams starts, I guess if you're in deeper leagues and you've got capacity to do it, you could add him. But we know, I mean, he started a lot of this season, done nothing, so I'm not rushing to make a move there. For the Timberwolves, Jade McDaniels had been playing really well. Maybe he has figured things out. Naz Reid will continue to start over Julius Randle, who was earlier ruled out for up to, well, at least 2 weeks with an adductor strain. So it's Naz Reid's spot for now. Mike Conley, if you need assists and steals. Alexander Walker, the minutes there, but he had one good game, I think, there, but really doesn't do much consistently, not enough to be rostered on a night like tonight. All right, Golden State. I mean, you can see why they want to add some pieces, can't you? When Buddy Hield starting, Quinton Post is starting, and then you're looking to Dennis Schroeder and Guy Santos and these guys for production off the bench, you're in trouble. It's such a bad-looking lineup. Draymond, Wiggins, Steph are our must-roster players. Even Draymond, actually, I mean, to be fair, is not someone I'm prioritising here. Pajemski, Schroeder, Payton, Waters, Looney. Moody's out, which I guess thins that rotation a little bit, but I'm still not really sold on any of these players. For Utah, we have no Colin Sexton. We know he is out for multiple weeks with an ankle injury, which will just mean that Keontae George starts. It doesn't really change his value. He was playing starters minutes anyway. So both he and Isaiah Collier are must-roster players, as are Markkanen, Collins, Kessler. Markkanen is questionable. That we know this is going to be the story with Markkanen rest of the season. He will be in and out, in and out, in and out. Towards the back end of the season, more out than in, I think. Jordan Clarkson, points streamer, nothing more at this point. And then Filipowski, Sensabaugh are stash targets. I think we can't really roster them with confidence at the moment, but I'm pretty sure we reach a point where they will be assets. All right, let me just check that we've had no trades or anything. Or injury news. Okay, Luka is out. We sort of assume that. So out tomorrow, but could play Saturday, and if not, expected to play Monday. So that's good news. LaVine is playing. I knew that. So we'll get to Sacramento shortly. But yeah, nothing new. Nothing in the last few minutes. So let's get to the Pelicans-Nuggets game. Pelicans, as we know, no Daniel Theis. He is gone. So Carlo Matkovic will be our backup center. Deeper leagues, I think he's probably an add. Alvarado is questionable tonight. If you picked him up, I know he was disappointing, but we're holding. Hold and see. Javonte Green started in the last game. I'm not convinced that is going to be the long-term move here, but I could be wrong. Would I roster Javonte? He's very, very mediocre. He can contribute in multiple categories. That's a plus, but the volume is pretty low. I think I'd still rather Alvarado, Jordan Hawkins, who was potentially also picked up following the DeJounte Murray injury. Hasn't done much yet. There will be a point, I'm almost sure of it, where he has a week of like top 80 value because he's scoring 25 a game. But consistently, I think Alvarado is still the preference there. For the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon is questionable. Of course, no Peyton Watson, no Russell Westbrook. So Strouther, who's coming off a fairly good game, he had 15 points, 2 steals, I think, in the last one. I don't mind him as a pickup in 12-team leagues. Obviously, if Gordon was out, that would help him. That also helps Zeke Nnaji. But I'm not adding Nnaji. Even Aaron Gordon is pretty borderline. But he's fine as a hold. But I'm not holding him anywhere, put it that way. Phoenix at OKC, no Kevin Durant. He is out for, well, ankle, technically an ankle injury. We will find out in this time tomorrow, we will know. So with him out, Royce O'Neal will likely start. They could also start Bradley Beal. They could also start Grayson Allen. So there's a few ways they could go here. If Royce O'Neal plays 30 minutes, we know that he can put up value. Would I waste a move on him? Probably not. If Durant is traded, there's going to have to be something coming back. So don't just assume, oh, if Durant's traded, Royce O'Neal gets to start. That could be the case, but it could also not be the case. Nick Richards, who's very up and down, he's a hold because his good games are going to be good, as we've seen. He had a 20-19 game. He is a good rebounder, but yeah. Look, with no Durant, I guess they could feature him a little bit more tonight. Not a great matchup, though, against the Thunder. The Thunder welcome back Jalen Williams. As I said, Daniel Tice is coming on board but won't really play. With Williams back, that impacts Isaiah Joe, Alex Caruso, Kenrich Williams. None of those guys are priorities, I don't think. Just streaming targets, Isaiah Joe for three, Alex Caruso for steals. And, Aaron Wiggins, who is starting at the moment with Cason Wallace out, he had that 41-point game. Next game he had 13, I think. He's pretty borderline. On the back of that 41-point game, I'm not going. He is a must-roster player. And the last game of the night, the Orlando Magic taking on the Sacramento Kings for the Magic. Jalen Suggs, doubtful. He's thereabouts, but obviously just not ticking all the boxes yet. So Anthony Black, Cole Anthony are both considerations tonight, but 11 games, it's very unpredictable as to who has value on any given night with those two. Cole Anthony probably feels a little bit safer. So if you roster him, you just hold him. Really, we're just watching Gogi Badadze here, what his minutes look like. Can he push back into 25 minutes? He's been down at around 20. The numbers have been fine, but we still don't really have a clear idea of what his role is going to be long-term. Is it a minute split? Does he get up to 28 minutes and Wendell Carter is at 20? So I'm just holding Goga wherever I can at this point. For the Kings, Zach LaVine will make his debut and will almost certainly start, which sends Keon Ellis back to the bench. And this is why we were a little bit, not down on Keon Ellis, but we were of the opinion that he was a stash, but the path to minutes wasn't really going to be any clearer because with Fox going, someone had to come back. That is Zach LaVine. Keon Ellis, he would need to push to 25 minutes, I think, to be someone we're looking at as a must-roster player. Other than that, he is just a really good streamer, almost like a Caruso. He has a bit more upside than an Alex Caruso, I think, but that's sort of where he fits. With LaVine there, we're not making any moves with Monk, DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Sabonis. We just want to have a look at what the rotation looks like. Do DeRozan's assists go up a little bit with no De'Aaron Fox? How does Monk look as the starting point guard? And how does LaVine fit in? Where does Keegan Murray sit offensively now? I mean, you could argue he is still the fifth option, fourth or fifth, which isn't great for his fantasy value, but we will see what happens there. All right, let's do some quick questions as I check Twitter. Very quiet indeed on Twitter. All right. Warriors aren't getting Durant. Well, Durant doesn't want to go there, no. But as I said, it's not his choice, so we'll see. If they go for Vooch, then, the sky is not the limit with Vooch as your starting center. Jalen Smith, Jalen Smith is still our stash target there in Chicago. They are trying to move those guys that they just got in, which we assume would be the case. What do I think of RJ Barrett and Jakob Poeltl's rest of season outlook? Yeah, I'm not sure. So this one's from Jay Sizzle. I'm not sure with the Raptors. They're obviously not competing. But I don't know. I don't think they're bad enough to be in the sweepstakes for Cooper Flagg. I think at the moment it's Washington, Charlotte, and someone in the West. Who is it in the West? Why can I not think? Pelicans? I think of the three. Washington are pretty clearly number one at the moment in terms of they will get the worst record. And then I think it's Washington and New Orleans. So I don't think the Raptors are bad enough. They would really have to throw it in to be bad enough. Jakob Poeltl, I'm not sure about him. Barrett, I'm somewhat confident he probably plays out the season. Just because I think, do they want to try and just get reps into these guys? Quickly, he's been out so much. They just haven't had a good look at what this core looks like. I don't think it's going to be a situation where if they play their core, they start winning and they push into the play-in or the playoffs or anything like that. So I think they're in a position where they probably can roll Barrett out there. Poeltl is the one I'm not too sure about. Poor Middleton. Yes, it is. I hope. I mean, I'm not a massive Middleton fan or anything like that, but yeah, I'm hoping that the Wizards either move him on via trade or just buy him out because he's just, there's no point in being in Washington. Yep, there's the KJ Martin trade, traded to Detroit for 2 second-round picks. Are we thinking the Durant sidelining is trade talks? Oh, look, it's probably, yeah. I mean, there's probably an ankle tweak here. That wouldn't surprise me, but I think the trade talks, they might have something to do with it. If KD goes to Miami, what does that do for Jovic's value? Well, it hurts it, obviously, because when Jimmy was playing, Jovic didn't have a ton of value. Where's Miami? So their roster would probably look like, let's have a look. I mean, Tyler Hero is going to start, Bam's going to start, Ware is going to start. I think those three are locked in. If Durant came in, he'd probably start at the three, which would send Highsmith to the bench. And then it's, I guess, Duncan Robinson stays in the starting lineup. So it would hurt Jovic, but actually I don't think it would kill his value because I think Highsmith would almost just go out of the rotation. I think they would still keep Jovic at minutes in the mid to high 20s. So it would hurt his value, but I don't think it destroys it. Okay, here's one from Jared Colpin. Stashed a bunch of guys last week, but we'll need to drop someone soon with guys coming off IR. Who would I drop? Collier, Jovic, Kamara, Io in a head-to-head points league? Yeah, it might be Jovic there. Io is going to be at 34 minutes rest of season. Kamara is already there. Collier is going to be there. Points league, Collier doesn't have as much value. Yeah, I guess it could be Collier. Hang on, what's going on here? Sorry, I'm just tweaking some things here. Christian Wood, no formal update. There you go, there's breaking news. It might be Jovic there. Jovic or Collier's tough. I mean, he's much better in a category league, but with the way Utah are headed, or maybe they're one of the bad teams? I don't know. It wouldn't be Kamara, it wouldn't be Io, so probably Jovic or Collier. Shining Knight, is Suggs a drop? You have him in an IR in both leagues. One is 19 and one is 11 team. The 19 one has Bane. Is Suggs a drop? I probably wouldn't. I mean, we've seen the last 2 weeks how much they need him on the court. They have been terrible, Orlando. It's not all on Suggs, but it's certainly, yeah, I'd probably be holding him if I could. Okay, so Alex missed the start of the show. Not sure if I already said Herder, Trey Jones, Zach Collins rumored to be moved. Could Lonzo be a drop because of all the guards? I don't think so. I don't see these guys impacting Lonzo really. I mean, Lonzo could be traded as well. So, yeah, at this point, no, I don't think they impact Lonzo. What do I make of the Tice trade? Does this make Jay Will worthless? Well, he didn't have a ton of value anyway. I don't think they're going to play Tice over him. I think he will still be the backup and Tice will be the emergency sort of third string guy, foul trouble, that sort of thing. It just makes no sense really to play Tice over Jay Will. They're somewhat similar. So, yeah, I don't think it impacts Williams' sort of value too much, but I don't think he had a ton of value to start with. Very deep leagues, yes. Do we think the John Collins injury illness might have been legitimate considering the number of games he's played now? I have no doubt he was injured and was sick. It's just, was he that injured and was he that sick? Whether they were exploring trade talks, no one wanted him, and now they're just, okay, well, we'll just roll you out there. So, potentially, it was legitimate. I do think it in these situations, in a situation where he missed, I don't know, 8 games, he could have come back after 6. They probably do just ease their foot off the gas a little bit in terms of rushing players back. Do I think he's safer than we thought in regards to the shutdown? Look, he might be. I mean, this is a situation where Utah aren't that good even when they're fully healthy. So, yeah, look, he could be relatively safe. He's going to miss games. I'm almost certain of that. But he's still worth rostering. Okay, quick old man squad dynasty question. Why are third round picks considered first rounder? I had to get clarification on this because I traded a third round pick when I got James Harden. It's because of the way I think Yahoo sets it up. So next season, I think when we do our rookie draft, there's 2 rounds of picks. So the third round is then the first rounder for the 2026 draft and so on. So a fifth round pick will be the first rounder the following year. It's the way they set it up. You can't add a year and a round. You just have to go 20 rounds. So that'll be the 2 rounds of picks for the next 10 years. So your 19th round pick will be a first round pick in the 2035 draft. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I'm not sure. Okay, who have we got? Just some discussion here. Don't really need to answer questions there. I enjoy making Chad sad with the Kyle Lowry news is out. And then today with Christian Wood, no update. Yeah, that is, it's sad, isn't it? Would I trade a men for Monk? Ooh. In a standard league? Would I? That's a tough one, actually. It would probably come down a little bit to need. A man is going to be better at rebounds. He's going to be better at steals. He's going to be better at blocks. He's going to be more efficient. Monk is going to be better at points, threes, assists, free throws. So what 4 categories do you need? Because they are, despite the fact that they're both sort of guards, Amen plays more like a forward, I know he's had good assist numbers lately and can do that, but he needs Fred VanVleet out. But I think it's a fair trade. I think Monk is probably a little bit safer just because his role is locked in now. Amen obviously has been very good, but Jabari Smith will come back. VanVleet will come back. So, I think there's a few little question marks around Amen there. Monk. Okay, I was asking for Amen. Yeah, I think that's fine. Do I think Kuzma's value didn't take that big of a hit because there's no shutdown risk for him now? And yeah, so that's like I said, I think for Kuzma, this is a win and a loss. I think the loss is that he's playing on a better team, so he won't touch the ball as much. But is that a win? Because it means his efficiency could be a little bit better. It means he will probably play more. He won't be sitting back-to-backs, anything like that, I wouldn't think. So I think it's a per game upside is a loss, but rest of season total value, I think it's a win. And should I trade Amen for Siakam or Mitchell? Mitchell, I'd consider it. Siakam, I think they're about the same. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I've got to take my son to school. I've got to go to work. Thank you for all of the questions, everybody. Remember the trade deadline show tomorrow early. Go and find that. Go and pre-like it. I think Dan's put something. We're up to like 820 likes. He's pushing for 850 now. He's a greedy man, but go and help him out. I will be back with a post-game show later today. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pre-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.